As a follow-up to our last panel, we're now going to turn to more specifics about asylum and updates in asylum law and practice. And I have two esteemed panelists here with me. Zoe Bowman is the supervising attorney of the Detained Deportation Defense Team at Las Americas in El Paso, Texas. And with her is Erica Schomer, who leads the Immigration and Human Rights Clinic at St. Mary's University School of Law, and who has practiced, she wanted me to tell you this, practiced asylum law both on our northern and southern border. And these two asylum law experts are going to get us up to speed about what's happening in the asylum law world. Thank you all.
Thank you. Well, before we start, I'll say a lot of my knowledge of what's happening with asylum right now is based on my experiences working in detention centers in El Paso and New Mexico and my colleagues' experience working with people in Juarez. And I know things are not playing out the same across the border or throughout Texas or throughout the country, so just wanted to preference my statements with that. So this was touched upon by our last panelists, but I think definitely the biggest change to asylum law this past year has been the implementation of the Circumventing Lawful Pathways Rule, or what advocates are calling the asylum ban. As they were saying before, this rule was implemented immediately after the end of the Title 42 policy as something to take its place. I think there was a lot of worry and angst in the administration that the idea of the border was going to be rushed and we wouldn't be able to handle the amount of people. So I think this policy, the underlying purpose seems to be how can we kind of push as many people through expedited removal as quickly as possible and get people who they think aren't like real asylum seekers out of the country. So the core of circumventing lawful pathways or the asylum ban is this bifurcated system for people seeking asylum. And they say you either enter through like a lawful pathway, so CBP-1 or those other new parole programs for CHNV countries or things like that was on the slide from the last panel, or people who enter unlawfully. And because you can't enter with at a port of entry without a CBP-1 appointment, that's pretty much everyone who like can't get one of those paroles or a CBP-1 appointment. The asylum ban, it applies to all parts of the asylum process. So it starts at the fear interview stage where an asylum officer will screen you and determine whether or not you're still eligible for asylum. But if your case continues and you're in front of an immigration judge or you have an affirmative asylum application, that decision will continue through your entire immigration process. So if an asylum officer during your credible fear interview says that you're not eligible for asylum, a judge will again look at that during your final hearing and see whether you're eligible for asylum or just withholding in CAT if you have a fear-based claim. The other thing I wanted to add before we talk about exceptions to the asylum ban is that this rule does not apply to Mexican citizens or to unaccompanied children, so they'd still be considered eligible for asylum. So this is where things start to get a little complicated. If you're not a Mexican national or an unaccompanied minor, you might still fall under one of the exceptions to the asylum ban by showing that you applied for and were denied asylum in another country, or if you can show that it was not possible to use or access the CBP-1 app. I haven't really seen this being applied in practice. I've met and heard of many people in detention who are subject to the ban, even though they're like from Ecuador and speak an indigenous language and had no way to navigate the CBP-1 app, or if someone is illiterate. Those things are coming out during the asylum interview and people are still being subjected to the CBP-1 ban. But if you're getting the chance to argue that the person actually doesn't fall under this rule, those are really good things to look for. So there are people that aren't subject to the ban at all. There are exceptions to the ban. And then there's ways to rebut the presumption that the ban applies.